The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks for being with me for the next 43 minutes of talk time and 1 hour of clock time as we have the profit breaks throughout the show. Doug Hughes is with me today. Hello, Dougie.
Hey, good afternoon, David.
We're going to have a fantastic show. Got a lot going on. And then next week, we're going to start ramping up the guests. We're going to have Lance Like. He'll be on talking about estate planning, getting yourself in not just estate planning. It's such a broad term. We're going to get into the weeds. You know, are you a veteran? You know, what do you do to protect your assets in case you go into a nursing home? What are the important living documents you must have? What is so important if you want to control from the grave? We're going to really dig into some heavy lifting next week with Lance Like, and hopefully inspire people who haven't done anything to do what you're supposed to do, which is call Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. I may have Lance read this next week on his own. But call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. Easy number to remember. Looking forward to doing my next podcast. I'm going to record it on Friday with Martin James. He's been on four times, and he's a CPA just up the street in Mooresville. Been a charter member of the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Group as well. He's going to be on with me, and we're going to be talking about depreciate or not depreciate. That's the question. And that kind of came out of a personal experience I just had when I sold a piece of real estate, and I realized I didn't just have my partner that owned it with me, but I had three partners. I actually had four partners. I had my partner that owned it with me, the bank, and the IRS. And when the IRS gets the biggest check of almost all of them, the bank and the IRS were neck and neck. It kind of made me think, all this depreciation that I've taken over the years, is that just a little bit of a high that I received with a little tax deduction? Am I kind of eating crow here by saying don't take the tax deduction on your IRA, let it go tax-free, and it's much better at the end? Well, we're going to have Martin James going to come on, and we're going to talk about depreciate or not depreciate. That is the question.
That is the question.
That is the question. All right, what about other guests coming up? David McKnight. Going to do a Zoom with him here in the studio. Kind of a new thing for me. He wants to start what do you want to call that?
Pollinating.
Pollinating, I guess. No, there's probably a better term for
there
that.
There probably is, but it came to mind.
Cross-promote, maybe?
There you go.
Our shows, our themes, we have the same theme, but both of us have a little different angle how we handle it. But he has a YouTube channel, so he wants to record the Zoom and then publicize that on his YouTube channel. And then Ryan McNown, he's a Ed Slott guy that has his own radio show and podcast as well. And he's I think, from Minneapolis. But anyway, he's one of the smartest guys I know. He's going to be on the 12th. Then we'll have a conference week on the 19th of October. We'll be in Phoenix, so we'll be recording probably a question and answer show. That way we can record it early before it heads out. You got Jerry Settler. We have Ed Slott coming again sometime in the next 6 months or 5 months, it looks like. We've got a holiday gift-giving show. Jim Emmon Jr. will be in there with me for that. So just a lot of great stuff going on. Thanks, because Jim's back and helping me stay on track. Let's also give Kenny Blaine Auctions a shout-out. I've been on there bidding. It was a piece of real estate. I bid on a Heppner signed helmet, IU helmet. I think I about got outbid. But anyway, go to KennyBlandAuctions.com. You'll be amazed at all the great stuff they have there. They are your full service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Again, visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. And finally, Unrivaled Electric. They're your full service electrical contractor. They specialize in generators, which has come in extremely handy this year at my house. Solar arrays. Veteran-owned, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your electrician like mine. I was fortunate enough, my wife and I bought a house on Lake Lemon last fall, And we're, you know, we're kind of out there trying to figure this whole thing out. And anyway, we have a boat out there. I'm going to try to do something with the dock, I think, but as well. But I told her, I said, in 2 years, if we're not using this the way that I think we should be using it, and it's difficult when you're really busy to utilize it, I said, we're going to sell it all. Boat, furniture, everything. But the cool thing was, I was fortunate enough when there was a 3 or 4 day power outage in Unionville, and all that area was out around 4th of July. The house had a generator, a Generac generator, and Tim serviced that for me, and it ran like a charm for 4 straight days.
Wow.
He used up a little Gale's propane out there in Unionville, was sure happy, filled my propane tank back up.
Yeah.
But other than that, the generator worked just fine. All right, Doug, we're going to talk a little bit about last week, and then we're going to get Hot Rod on the phone to talk about this week. Last week, stocks ended the week kind of roughly where they started. We kind of started digesting a mix of economic data. Pretty much everyone was flat for the week. Stocks traded around the flat line without any real catalyst in either direction. On Thursday, we kind of welcomed the European Central Bank signaling its rate hike campaign may be nearing a conclusion. And we had a successful IPO, which hasn't happened for a while, that revived optimism in the capital markets. So we also cheered a stronger than forecasted retail sales report. Retailers have been strong. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. And a modest increase in core producer prices. But then sentiment quickly changed, as always. We had a drop in consumer confidence, troubling news in the semiconductor space, and a labor strike that Doug wants to talk about in a little bit at the nation's major automakers, and not just the automakers, but all across different sectors as well, that dented our optimism. That sent all the indices lower for the week. All right, kind of a mixed close for the week. Here's the one thing. Inflation progress stalls, mainly to do with gas prices, right? So surging gasoline prices in August drove inflation to its highest monthly rate this year so far. Consumer price index rose to just, I'm telling you, this is good though, 3.7%, up from July's 3.2. We're going to have a hard time, I think, getting it under 3, which I think that's where the Fed wants to be. But I keep thinking, guys, we've been running at low inflation, low wage growth for so long that isn't it okay to run hot for a little bit? I think so. But then you look at core inflation, that excludes energy and food, which makes no sense. Why we would even care about that? Because the two things that impact people the most, right? Energy and food, right? We need energy to heat and cool our homes, drive our cars, whatever. Even electric cars, right? They need energy. But that rose just 4.3%, down from July's reading of 4.7. So a lot of stuff happening this week. We had housing starts, the big announcement on Wednesday from the Fed. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Today on Thursday, jobless claims, existing home sales, all kinds of leading economic indicators. And then tomorrow on Friday, if you're listening on Thursday, if you're not, just Friday, I think September 22nd, Purchasing Managers Index, the CMI, Composite Flash. I don't even know what that is, but I read it because it's here on my piece of paper. All right, when we come back, let's grab Hot Rod and see what's been going on, especially with the Fed meeting this week. What did they say? What did they do? And like I said, it's never what they did. It's always what they say that matters, and that's exactly why the market's reacting to it the way that it has. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes is in the house. Now we have Hot Rod on the phone, and Rod, the big week was upon us, right? The Fed met, did exactly what we thought they would do. But as I mentioned on the show last week, it's not what the Fed does, it's what they say that matters. And what the Fed said was, hey, listen, we're not done yet. This may take a little bit of time, and the markets are reacting, right?
Yeah, most certainly are. The market has been, you know, the market finally did accept that the Fed wasn't done way back in the spring or early summer. But the market settled in that it would probably be done for sure this fall. Even through the summer, the market seemed to still be thinking that December would be the first rate decrease. But I think once it became obvious that you were going to have an increase in the early part of the fall with the potential for another increase in November, it becomes highly unlikely you turn right around and cut rates in December. So the market became okay with not getting a rate cut, but thinking that they'd be done. And based on what Powell said yesterday, they still have a lot of work to do. Now, to your point, sometimes the action gets taken care of by the reaction to the things that they say. But this has been kind of a strange cycle with the Fed because, in all honesty, the market and things revolving around the market that would impact the things that the Fed is looking at really haven't responded as negatively as you would anticipate how rapid the interest rates increase. So the consumer is still consuming. No doubt you saw a bit of a slowdown in houses and automobiles, mm-hmm. but not drastically. And part of that offset as far as that slowdown there was inventory was so dramatically low in the housing sector that there weren't a tons of houses available for all of the people looking. So even though some people stopped looking, some of those people weren't able to find anything to buy anyway due to inventory. So, yeah, the market didn't like hearing that there's work to be done, and that not only is there work to be done, meaning potential another rate increase or two, but also that they don't see a rate cut in the foreseeable future, and they plan to stay higher for longer. Matter of fact, the other part that the market probably didn't like, the Fed has felt as though they are in restrictive territory already with the interest rate level that they're at. Now, they believe they're barely in restrictive territory. As of yesterday's meeting, they're not sure if they're in restrictive territory anymore because, as I said before, they're not seeing the slowdown and the impact on the economic data that they're looking at that they would have anticipated with this rapid rise in interest rates that they have dealt the economy. Unemployment being a perfect one. I would think that in the back of the Fed's mind, they probably would have been under the assumption that unemployment would be in the fours by now. And it isn't. 3.8 is the last one that we got. So things are continuing to move and show more strength than I think what the Fed anticipated. And they're highly fearful. And they said this from the very beginning of this interest or inflation fight, was that they didn't want to have happen to them what happened back in the 70s into the early 80s. The Fed paused raising rates a couple of times, thinking they had conquered inflation, only to find out a few months later they had not, and it reaccelerated. And this Fed doesn't want to see that happen. So that's why I've been saying on Glass's show, these next couple of months of data points, starting with this last month and moving forward, will be interesting to see how they react, because you were going to have an uptick. Everybody predicted it was easy to see, especially with what the price of oil has done, that you were going to have a slight uptick in inflation from where you're at. Now, does that cause fear and feel that they need to get aggressive again because inflation is starting to go in the wrong direction? Or do they accept it as kind of a one-off blip for a few months, but it's not the start of a brand new trend?
Before you came on, we gave a little recap of last week, but on Friday, we had a drop in consumer confidence. We had some troubling news in the semiconductor space. We have labor strikes at the automakers that kind of dented any enthusiasm we had last week. And Doug was talking with me as we headed into the studio that Julian, who's going to be on the show, talk about that briefly, like who's going to be a guest on our show. We don't know exactly when, but it's pretty big land.
Yeah, so Julian Albertini, he is a portfolio manager and analyst with a particular mutual fund company, French and
man.
He goes around the world and does a lot of analyst site visits. He's the real feet on the ground.
He also
kind
goes
of thing.
To dinner with you.
Goes to dinner. Yes,
come an IU basketball game. All that kind of good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, neat stuff. But he did a video just about a week or so ago talking about the U.S. the strike and Rod and I were talking about this. I did not know about this, and I'm just looking at it right now. Through September 20th, David, there have been 278 labor strikes in the U.S. in 2023 at 425 locations.
Well, we had the
Screen Actors Guild, the nurses, the baristas.
The port.
The port. Rod, you could probably help me out with another one. We were talking about it.
The
UAW,
automakers.
Of course.
Yeah.
Teachers.
Yeah. UPS came close.
Yeah, UPS.
UAW right now. There is some talk, and it may have been in Europe, but I know there's some talk of some select Apple stores talking about going out on strike because they want to unionize. And I think a lot of this comes down to where we were at in such a tight labor market. The employee had all of the control and power, and they've decided to utilize it to improve the conditions that they have, be it pay, be it benefits, be it a combination of the two, that is beginning to tilt back in the other direction. And the other thing, I think, related at least to the UAW, and as I told Glass on his show, I'm not taking any sides on this. I'm not by any means suggesting the workers don't deserve a pay increase. I'm just saying be very cautious, because it appears the aggressive pay increase being asked for is exclusively looking through the rearview window of the profits that the automakers made coming out as a lean, mean company out of bankruptcy, and the profits are much larger. But they're being forced into electrification, which doesn't have the same type of profit margins moving forward. So if you bank your pay raise on what has happened in the past, but the financial conditions are going to dramatically change between now and 2030, the magic date that the government would like all of the automakers to only be selling EVs, and profit margins shrink dramatically, and they can't improve that over time, well, then you may have just set yourself up to be in a position in which you can no longer handle that pay and that cost, and you end up with a future problem on down the road. Once again, not arguing against pay raises at all, just thinking that they have to be very conscious of where they're coming from, but also where they're headed to.
Well, and I was talking to Doug as we came in the studio that a lot of these contracts, you know, they're set for 3 or 5 years sometimes. So the maybe in 19 they did a contract, and now here we are in 2023 or getting ready to go to 2024, and now they're up for renewal. Well, they are looking in the rearview mirror and say, hey, we agreed to these minor raises, but we've had inflation of more than double digit over the last 3 years, and we need some money. So it's a tough quandary, but you know, that's going to cause more chaos if we have more and more people going strike. So I guess what we're saying to folks, Rod, it comes back to our principles that we've preached for almost 30 years, and that is understand when you're going to need the money, what you're going to need it for, and invest accordingly. We're saying that the market right now is rocky. It's probably going to continue to be rocky. We've been saying all year it made no sense. The valuations were so low. Or so high, I guess, would be the opposite way to say that. Volatility low, I meant to say. In this kind of a market, it made no sense. So we've been expecting something all year long, and now it's getting some reasons to do that. So I would say hang on, and I think it's a fantastic time when you have money to invest. I've never bought bonds as high of yields in my entire career. Mm-hmm. You know, certain sectors of the market are fairly valued. Headline S&P 500. Remember, guys, like 10 companies drive the majority of that. If you look at the Dow, it's up like 4.5% for the year, not 15, not 30 like the NASDAQ. So all I'm saying is just calm down, you're okay. And if you're getting close to retirement, within 5 years from retirement, you should definitely be assessing your allocation and where your money should be parked, because it's time to get ready. As I always say, to get ready. Rob, we're going to let you go, brother. We got a lot to cover. So take care of the ranch. I'll see you back there in a bit.
Sounds good. Have a great show, Dave.
All right, we're going to take a break. So student loan restart, starting to pinch spending, right? October 1st is the big date where everyone has to start paying again. Wall Street Journal reports. We'll be back to have a discussion about that and why I'm going to take the side that it will not matter. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, before we get into the big restart of people paying their student loans back and the impact it may have on spending and the economy, I want to kick it over to Doug, because, Dougie, we have got a lot of stuff happening this fall.
Boy, we really do, David. And just some things that people have heard us talk about in the past, so let me go through this one first. Retirement planning today, it's going to be at Ivy Tech, October 3rd and 10th, October 4th and 11th. So those are two Tuesday evenings or two Wednesday evenings. And we've been doing this program for about 15 years now. And you know what?
So much new stuff. So much new stuff. The Secure Act alone, you could spend a half an hour just on that.
Exactly. And we're going to go through some really neat stuff, like everything from life planning, which is kind of a feel-good get into the program, to retirement planning mistakes, inflation, how to do rollovers. What does that mean? What kind of rollover mistake can you make? And you've had a great story about that for years, we're going to talk about the difference between defined benefit plans and, you know, defined opportunity. We're going to be talking about all the different things that people have in their portfolio and how they work mechanically.
I think the best part about that program, not only is it, you know, 5.5 hours of love from soup to nuts, they get two big fat textbooks.
Yeah.
And with the tuition that they pay, at the end, they turn in an evaluation form, and they have an opportunity to have a one-on-one with the instructor.
Absolutely.
To talk about their own personal situation. By far, when you go back and survey people on what was the best part about the program, yeah, the information's great, the education's mm-hmm. great, but the opportunity to sit down with...
And ask their questions,
yeah,
not to, just the general, is the market up or down, but their specific questions.
Right.
And there's a lot to do with that. And so we talk about everything from... insurances to income plan. I mean,
asset protection, estate planning.
Yeah, you need to be involved in this. If you haven't been involved yet, you can reach out to our office, 812-334-3190. Talk to Jim Inman about it. And you want to be a part of this. Whether you're a client of ours, whether you're not, this is a good class to be a part of.
Then, CFCI.us is another way to contact us. You can go to the Ivy Tech website under the Center for Lifelong Learning and look for retirement planning today. They're registration system used to be real clunky. It's really very streamlined now. It's more like ordering something on Amazon. What else we got going on?
Yes, so October the 25th, we are doing Estate Planning 101 with Dustin Plummer. He is going to go come to our office, the Legacy, which is a classroom type setting next to our office.
It's an approved Ivy Tech facility to use to do classes there.
Yeah, and it's going to be an excellent program. It's Estate Planning 101, so this is for whosoever wants to come to it, right? But this is Wednesday, October 25th.
Limited it to 36 people, I saw in the email this morning.
Yes, but it's from 6 to 7:30, and so if you folks have a chance, you should be a part of that. Then here's another one, and this one is wide open to the public as well. Thursday, November the 2nd, at the Legacy Room, again, that we're talking about, Ivy Tech sponsored room, we're going to do a Living with Dementia program, which is more of a casual, open conversation with Dana Thompson, who is the IU Health Alzheimer's educator. So this is going to be a really informative, meaningful, and thoughtful program that if you're dealing with dementia, if you're concerned about dementia, we're going to have a great speaker here local that's going to help us walk through
last time we did this, we did it twice, and it was very good, very impactful. A lot of relationships, connections made at the class, people going through the same thing or similar things. But I always share my story. I share my story with my father-in-law. I share my mom's story, which is tough, but that's reality.
Right.
We're going to have people there that have dealt with it as the main caregiver, that maybe the spouse lived through it for 4 years or 5 years. So it's somewhat of a support system, but also be able to identify resources that are available to the community when you feel like you're out there on an island dealing with dementia.
The main takeaway here, folks, is we have a lot of good education and information coming in the next couple of months. So stay connected to our website and listen to these radio shows as we continue to announce them.
I'm going to go ahead and take a break. When I come back, I will talk about, I promise, the student loan restart to pinch spending. Really? We'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. So the Wall Street Journal on Monday had an article. I read the entire thing, and I laughed, actually, when I read it. But I'm going to read some excerpt for you. Here we go. Student loan restart to pinch spending. Okay, the restart of student loan payments could divert up to $100 billion from Americans' pockets over the coming year, leaving consumers squeezed and some of the nation's largest retailers fearing a spending slowdown. October 1st. Tens of millions of student loan borrowers will need to make payments averaging between, hold your breath, $200 and $300 each month. The payments will mark the first time that borrowers have had to make any good on their loans since the Education Department instituted a pause in March of 2020. In the interim, they spent the money, they say, on televisions, travel, new homes, thousands of other products. Really? You spent that $200 a month on new homes? I doubt that. That spending is one reason the economy has remained resilient in recent years despite a surge in interest rates. Now, if you only read the first page and you didn't flip it to the back. They say that Target and Walmart and other retailers are that, you know, that depend on discretionary spending are very concerned. Economists, on the other hand, this is when you have to flip the page, said that renewed payments are a relatively small problem. You have to go to page two. The headlines make it sound like it's going to be a big deal. To the $18 trillion in annual consumer spending. So I don't think, you know, $200 a month is going to put a big pinch in things. Among those with student debt in March of 2020, around one-third of them kept making payments because they were like, I'm going to have to pay it eventually. And then when they talked about debt forgiveness, I know people didn't pay for a while and all that kind of stuff. But it goes on to say, overall, borrowers did not significantly boost their spending when the payment pause effectively took place, according to Katz Research, especially compared with the effects of receiving other forms of government aid. U.S. consumers have accelerated their purchases of big-ticket items such as cars in recent months and have continued to spend more at stores and restaurants. Consumer spending, which constitutes around 70% of the U.S. economy, rose 0.8% in July, the Commerce Department said. And they're basically saying when they had those government stimulus checks, yeah, they were out buying stuff. But they found that this ease in their payments have not affected consumer spending. Here's my take on this. If you've been with me for a long time, you remember when I used to have Harry Dent on, who was all about demographics, predictable spending patterns, and you could see where things were going based on demographics, period. He used Japan as an example, how Japan had this old aging population. They were going to slow down and spending was coming. They had all these issues with no births and all that kind of stuff, no immigration, and he was right. Mm-hmm. So Japan was in a mess, still just now coming out of their mess, I think. China's economic woes, I think, are going to rival Japan's or worse. They're in a mess as well. So the U.S., he looked at and said, okay, listen, we've got this baby boom generation. The peak of their births were 1961. I think we're going to have this massive spending wave in the 90s and into the 2000s. And guess what? He was right. The thing that he was wrong about was how it would affect the stock market. He could predict when you ate, what age you ate fast food the most. And I always joke, it's around 42, but you didn't, weren't eating. I mean, I might be eating a Big Mac at 42, I have to admit. Egg McMuffins were my favorite. But it's your kids that are eating the heck out of fast food, and you're taking them. But then you get a little older, and they're still eating fast food. They don't want you with them. So that you can predict things like hair products for women or peak use of electricity. It's when your kids are the oldest and leaving on every light in the house. My son still leaves on every light in the house. So guess what's happened? The baby boomers, again, peak birth rates 1961, they are aging out. And predictably, they are going to start slowing spending. Again, I argue with that as well. In the early ages of retirement, you spend more. You forget you're retired. You're not on vacation. You're retired. But then your spending slows as you age. Well, the millennials, the spear, the head of the millennials are in their 30s now. I think mid-30s, I think, Doug. And guess what? They're doing the same thing that the boomers did. They are buying houses. They are having kids maybe a little bit later. And guess what? There's a bunch of them. And there's a massive spending wave that's underway regardless of whether interest rates are at 8% or not. They are spending money on the necessity items. Sure, discretionary stuff might be a way, but they're still enrolling their kids in gymnastics. They're still putting them in youth football. They're still buying cleats. They're still buying baseball mitts and all that kind of stuff. They're still buying food. They're still buying things, right? They're buying everything's happening. So I can see, based on where people are, what they're spending money on, that spending's not going to have a significant slowdown. So these $200 a month that folks have to start paying or $300 on their student loans, no big deal. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. And they always say, Doug, there's just everyone has opinions, right?
Yes.
And they all stink. So I'm gonna throw myself under the bus on that one as well. But the facts are the facts that I don't think $200 a month is gonna affect an $18 trillion economy.
No, it's not.
Consumer spending.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back. Had a couple of things come up this week that I thought were worth sharing. One involved an inherited IRA from 2020. What are the rules, right? We had the old rules. We had some new rules. We had some adjusted rules. What rules am I supposed to follow? Then I had another situation come up, someone who wanted to participate more in a qualified plan, but they were like, well, I've already tapped mine out. And I'm like, wait. But there's more. And what they didn't, what they found out is there's another retirement plan that they have access to that's unique to not-for-profits and government agencies and things like that, that he didn't know existed. So he's able to double up on his 401k contributions and not just play catch-up, play some major catch-up. All right, I'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. My wife's been a member of Orange Theory. You guys know what that is. Mm-hmm. For like ever. She was during the shutdowns or whatever. She never could get in, or you had to make an appointment. And so anyway, what a great thing, because it's a subscription, right? You pay every month. And how many of you pay stuff every month and then kind of forget you pay it, or don't use it but still pay it? That's why I loved being in the self-storage business. People would come and rent a storage facility, put all their crap in there that they probably didn't need, pay the $80 or $100 a month, and the next month comes around, they're like, nah, you know what, I'm just going to pay the $100 and not have to go clean my storage unit out. Next thing you know, you've had a storage unit for 10 years, and it's like, man, I've been paying on this and waste of money. Well, some of these other memberships are the same. My Peloton. We have a Peloton. I've never been on the thing. I've got shoes. I've got the whole thing. We pay a monthly subscription, I think, to be part of the Peloton community. My wife, the other day, she started yoga in a kind of a private yoga class with one of her friends. And it hit me. Like, someone said, oh, your wife used to do Orange Theory. And I text her, hey, are we still paying for Orange Theory? And she says to me, oh, crap, I've been meaning to cancel that forever, but they make you go in to cancel, right? That's another hurdle. They do that at that other gym on the west side. I forget what it's called. You know, the one over there by whatever. You can't just call and cancel. You got to go in and cancel. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, well,
and then
just
they put the job on you there.
Well, then she's like, okay, I think I'll do that Thursday when I'm over at Target or whatever. And she's like, and I forgot. So months and months go by, and every time she balances the register at home, she's like, oh, I need to go cancel that. Anyway, I'm saying all that to really not make any kind of a specific point, except that.
Look
when
out
you
for
start,
your subscriptions.
Yeah. Look after that's your advice for the day. But I think saving in retirement accounts can be the same way, but it's a good thing, right? You set it and then you forget it. Well, I had something come up where a person was. So here's the thing. If you work for school systems, you work for the county, you work for most not for profits, you have usually three retirement plans. You have one you put money into, and there's one that the employer puts money into. It's 401A and a 403B. Well, there's a third plan that's rarely utilized, because most people, if they can max out, that's great, but rarely do people put more than the max in. Well, in this situation, this person had a pension from a prior employer, they had a nice income from the one that they had, and they need to play some major catch-up. So I'm like, hey, have you ever heard about the 457 plan? Nope, most people don't. There is another plan out there. It's called a 457, and if you are working for one of these outfits, it's there, and you can literally do a full max out of that plan just like you did your 403b or you would have the 401k. It's not available for private corporations. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. So that was something. The second thing was, someone had inherited an IRA in 2020, right at the end of 2020, and at the time the rules had just changed where, you know, you had to take it out within 10 years. And then we had new rules that changed that said, but then you have to take a required distribution if you aren't a qualified beneficiary or whatever. And you have to take it, but you still have to have it in 10 years. So we had all these rule changes going on. So they came to me and like, I haven't taken any RMDs on this. And I go, well, here's the good news. Because the rules were so confusing, the IRS said four people that died and inherited in 2020, they waived that year, they waived 21, they waived 22, and they now have waived 23 again. So my guess is that if you inherited an IRA back in 2020, and this person was going to retire in a couple of years, so they don't want to take more income, they don't want to pay taxes on it, they want to wait, that more than likely, you probably won't have to take any RMDs, required minimum distributions on an inherited IRA, until the end of the 10th year when you take it all out at once. So anyway, just a lot of interesting things that came up this week that I thought, I might share that, because you may be in that same situation. A lot of times, if you have a married couple, and maybe you work at the school system, maybe you're a tenured teacher, or not a tenured teacher, but you've been there a long time, and you max pay, and maybe your husband or wife is killing it on their side, you might say, well, I want to put more in than the maximum. Guess what? There's a 457 plan that never gets talked about that's available. You can put more money in. You work for the county, and for whatever reason, you have enough money to double up on your contributions and doubly max out. You can do it. So if you work for a government agency like that, it's likely that you have a 457 kind of lingering out there that's available for you. All right, Doug, I think that's about it. We're going to have to come back from that wonderful discussion and wrap it all up, although we should have about 5 or 6 minutes when we come back. So that's unusual because normally I'm like hitting my head against the wall trying to get everything in. So we're going to talk about a couple quick things, talk about my podcast coming up, and more. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, Dougie. All right, let's think about this weekend. Yeah. Coming down the finish line. So this weekend. So I don't have a clue what I'm doing Friday night, but I'm sure I have something to do. Saturday, I have no idea what I'm doing, except that I have a wedding to attend, and Indiana plays at like 7 o'clock. They play Akron, I think. Sunday, Little League football. By the way, I haven't talked much about this. We are 0-3. Which is, you've never heard me say it
before. Never heard that. No,
so the first two games, they knew this was my retirement phase out year. And I'm not blaming on anything because, you know, we got to have a young team. But I wasn't there the first two games, and I was there at the last game, and we didn't get an extra point, and therefore we lost. So kind of the way it rolls. But anyway, I'll be at Little League football again this Sunday, and hopefully we can turn the tide around. So anyway, like every weekend, I always get back to the office on Monday. I'm like, I had to get back to the office to relax.
Exactly.
Because the weekends are so crazy.
So busy. Yep.
Have some great shows again coming up. We have Lance Like next week on the estate planning show. But you know what? We're going to talk about so much more. You're going to love it, and you're going to not want to miss it. David McKnight, the author of Power of Zero and More, he's going to be on a Zoom, and then that will be on YouTube that you can check out and see how the glory of being in the studio actually looks. Ryan McNown, he's an Ed Slot guy, podcaster and radio show. Jerry said a lot of good shows coming up. But I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow, Friday, which will be out probably in like a week. And it's going to be with Martin James, CPA, a good friend of mine, also a charter member of the Ed Slot Elite IRA Advisor Group, called Depreciate or not depreciate? That is the question. Now, that applies to people that primarily own a business, own real estate, stuff like that. So it's a little specific. But, you know, if you've ever been thinking about getting into real estate or becoming a landlord of sorts, whether you're active or passive, and then we'll get into all that as well. We'll get into everything. It's going to be really good. You're going to want to listen in. So, again, depreciate or not depreciate? That is the question. What do you have going on this weekend?
Well, interesting enough, the Monroe County Library is having their big book sale, just for anyone who's listening out there. It's a big fundraiser for the library. Excellent books, very inexpensive. They're cleaning house, so I'll probably participate in that. And besides that, I really don't know what I have going on this weekend. I kind of am going in blindly into it like you are, but I'm sure there's things on the agenda for sure.
I would love to spend some time at the lake. You know, I think this weekend's going to be nice. So if I can wiggle my way out the lake limit, I'll do that. I have not fished. I traveled a lot, as everyone knows, in spring and early part of the summer. But I've been here, you know, hands on the wheel like every day and thinking, okay, well, I don't have that night available. So literally Monday nights are typically my free night of the week. That's it. Every other night I have something going on until at least 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. So my poor old bass boat has sat there. I even have the cover off.
I walk by it every night, and I think to myself, why is that sitting there and not on the water? Whether I'm taking it, you're taking it, or Will's taking it, or whoever is taking it.
I know. Yeah. Well, I have the old bass tracker still as well, which is technically Will's, but that one's out of Lake Lemon.
Is it in the water?
It's in the water.
Yeah.
It's been out there pretty much all year long, and random people have used it. Like, hey, are you fit? No, but you can use this old tracker. So, yeah, it got so bad. There's been no cover on it. The sun's been beating down on it, and the seats in it they were already getting aged on them, but they pretty much are wrecked now.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Actually got online last night to buy a new console, you know, the console seating, the two and the one in the middle. Interestingly enough, Bass Tracker doesn't even sell those anymore, so I had to go to some other outfit. But it worked out because instead of it being $1,000, it was like $440.
And that's on your older
boat. Yeah, I'm just going to revitalize it, put some electronics on it. You know, kind of, because I'm going to keep it. And then we have our big camp out coming out in a couple weeks at the Hayes Boy Camp Out down at beautiful West Boggs Park in Lagodi, Indiana. Yeah. Thankfully, I do shows on Thursday now, and I'm going to head out right after the show.
Awesome.
Not Saturday mornings from the shelter house like Jimmy and I used to do it years and years ago.
I remember
I used to say to Jim, if people only knew, because they're listening to the show. I remember going to a pediatric appointment with my son, Eric Moore is the pediatrician, and it was right after the show on a Saturday morning, and I show up, and I have a baseball hat on, shorts, and a T-shirt. He's like, I was just listening to you. And I go, oh, yeah. And he goes, but, you know, I envision you standing there, like, in a nice shirt and stuff. Yeah. I go, no, that's not the way radio goes.
No.
We have no video proof of what happens behind
just
the microphone.
If everyone just imagine us in suits and ties. And
I don't have a tie on, but we're dressed up right now. But I've been that way all week long. All right, so listen, we've had a great show today. If you miss any of it, Saturday mornings while you're headed to the farmer's market or whatever you're doing on Saturday morning, hopefully you're listening then, or you can catch it on WGCLradio.com. And as soon as it goes on or ends on Thursday nights, it magically appears in the World Wide Web of podcasts, so it'll show up in the streaming areas. And again, I mean, check out 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. It kind of streams sort of together. And that's how we've been able to get a significant amount of downloads. You know, I took some time off after my mom died. I just didn't have it in my belly to keep doing the podcast. And then, you know, kind of got things resurrected and back on track. So hopefully we didn't lose a lot of listeners during that time. We did actually for a while, but I think that's starting to pick back up. So we're having hundreds of unique downloads still happening. And then my nephew is using my podcast room now. He's got a podcast that he just started. And at your own risk, but it is called JV All-American. And it's hilarious because him and his buddy never accomplished anything athletically past junior varsity, but they are the most knowledgeable and opinionated sports guys that you'll ever listen to. I'm halfway through the first episode, and I don't know if because I know them or not, but I am laughing out loud at some of their remarks and what they know. So check it out, JV All-American I think it was on iTunes that I'm listening to it. So anyway, hey guys, I hope you hang in there with me for another show. Look forward to having Lance Slyke on next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.